We live in an Amazon Prime world, unfortunately, so they're going to expect fast turnarounds on you know, customer communication, on shipping notifications. They want to know exactly where their stuff is and how long it's going to take to get it.
Sip, create, repeat. A podcast providing marketing strategies you can consume over a cup of coffee.
Welcome back to another episode of the Sip, Create, Repeat podcast. I am Chris Schneider. Today, I'm joined by Phil Keel, who is our digital ads manager here at Handshake. Phil, welcome. Thank you so much for joining us. Today, we're going to talk a little bit about managing $250,000 in ad budget per month and what that looks like, both from a business standpoint, if you run an e-commerce store, and also if you are a digital ads manager. So be sure to stay tuned and let's go. So Phil, can you talk a little bit about what it's like to manage $250,000 a month worth of ad buy? You know, one client that I'm specifically thinking about, not even 2 years ago, they were spending, weren't spending any, money on digital ad spend on many of the platforms. And now all of a sudden they're spending, you know, $250,000 a month. So how do you get to that point? How does a business scale up from spending nothing to getting to this point where they're able to handle, you know, $250,000 in advertising budget per month?
Cool. Cheers, Chris. So the most important thing to remember if you're starting out with ads, maybe you've been running some small campaigns and you're thinking really big picture, is the performance of your ad campaign isn't the biggest part of the pie. It's everything else that you need to be able to enable you to scale to get up to that size. It's you need to have the back-end systems in place. You need to have shipping, fulfillment. You need to have a solid conversion rate on your website. You need to have solid margins on the product, which will enable you to potentially become less profitable during Q4 when CPMs go up. You need to have solid terms so that you've got a good cash flow. You don't want to happen to be paying for product 3 months earlier than when you can start selling it.
Yeah.
Because that's going to put you in a very cash negative position, especially when you counter in, you know, $200,000 in ad spend. So when you think about all those different, and ultimately you need a product that people want, and you need to have solid support team, solid sales staff, a solid flow of new creative. So when you think about it from that point of view, the performance of an ad set or a specific audience on helping you get to that $250,000 spend per month, it's only a really small portion of that big pie. Mm-hmm. Everything else plays a really big part of scaling up, and that's one of the main reasons why we were able to scale from, you know, like $6,000 a month in spend, mm-hmm, to 250, mm-hmm, is because this store had all those things. They had a product that people, mm-hmm, wanted. They had a solid term, solid profit margins, solid conversion rate. They were all already set up to scale, and we were really, you know, we could just lock in, set up the campaigns, focus on the creative, and focus on the media buying, and not focusing on these other things which can sometimes present themselves when I'm trying to scale that much.
Yeah, and I think, you know, thinking back to early, it was a little aggressive for them at times, because there would be months, and this is one thing to keep in mind if you're scaling, there'll be months where you just kind of pop off, right? Like all of a sudden you have this massive month, and maybe it's the targeting was oddly like on point. Maybe your offer was really good, or maybe it's just the seasonality of whatever you're offering. But we found that, you know, this business specifically certainly has their busy period. And what wound up happening is it gets so busy that at times they struggled a little bit to keep up, even with the sales and support staff they already had in place. And so now they're at that, you know, yeah, sure, it's a good problem to have, but the problem is it's still a problem. So I think a business needs to keep in mind going into this that having those, like, you know, standard operating procedures and having those processes in place before you start this effort are going to be really, really helpful, because what you don't want to do is get into the thick of it and like you are, you know, getting orders left and right and you're hardly keeping up with it. But then you also need to try to hire 3 or 4 different people on your support staff or 3 or 4 different people on your sales staff while you're in the middle of all of that. If you don't have your system set up, that's just going to set you up for failure. And what winds up happening is when you're reaching that bigger market, when you're reaching more and more people, we live in an Amazon Prime world, unfortunately. So they're going to expect fast turnarounds on you know, customer communication, on shipping notifications. They want to know exactly where their stuff is and how long it's going to take to get it. And so, you know, if you think about it now, yeah, you want to scale. Yes, you want to scale so that you can make more money, sure. But like Phil said, you also need to make sure your profits are there. But can you scale and also scale your team? Can you scale and also scale your actual business to a different level? Or are you just looking at it purely from a revenue standpoint? Because if you can't scale up your business with your digital ad efforts and with your revenue efforts like that, then what's going to wind up happening is you're going to overextend yourself and you're going to sell maybe too much, or you're not going to be able to keep up with orders. You're going to be a month behind fulfilling orders, and you're going to lead to a lot of customers that are super mad about what's going on and have a lot of cancellations. So switching gears a little bit, you know, when managing small budgets, it's easy to dive in and only put your budget in one platform, right? So let's say I have $5,000, $6,000 a month to spend. I'm pretty much going to narrow it down into the Facebook, Instagram, you know, platform and start spending there. So when you're starting to scale, are you still putting the majority there, or do you start to really diversify your advertising efforts? And if so, how do you tell what is going to work for your business and for your ads?
Cool. So the reason why we would potentially look at another platform is two reasons. A, can this platform drive cheaper traffic and cheaper sales and acquire customers that we're not currently reaching now? So that could be a platform like Snapchat or TikTok or Pinterest or YouTube, that potentially it's a different demographic that isn't on Facebook or Instagram. Mm-hmm. Can we use those platforms to basically, extend our reach? And then the second reason why we want to test different platforms is to validate, is Facebook and Instagram still the best place to put the majority of our spend? So we're sort of betting against Facebook by testing Snapchat. Okay, so Snapchat, the cost per click is 10 times cheaper, mm-hmm. but the conversion rate isn't there.
Yeah,
and that's something that we're going to see most of the time with Snapchat. Or is TikTok, TikTok CPMs are 10 times less, clicks are going to be less, but is it the right audience? Is it potentially too young? I know a lot of older people are on your TikTok now, but is it the right audience for our potentially older product that is on Facebook or Instagram more? And then YouTube, can we get these more high intent sources of traffic? And then how does that, going back to that second point, how does it compare to Facebook? Should we still, okay, after a month, should we pause those and go back to going 100% on Facebook or
not? Well, and I think you brought up a key point there that each platform has different sets of users, and you're not always going to reach the same users on all of those different platforms, right? And it's especially like TikTok and Snapchat, it's very different, the user base compared to like Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. You have to keep that in mind when you're marketing your product in general, that you might have to kind of spin things slightly different, or at least have different formats for your marketing efforts. But the same thing happens in the advertising side. And so, like Phil said, you know, CPMs are wonderfully low on Snapchat and TikTok, but is it because the audience just isn't there and you're getting the traffic for super cheap? So yeah, everyone likes to discount shop, but also you either have to go into it knowing that you're not going to get a lot of conversions, right? So knowing that you're not going to get a lot of checkouts on your website, or you have to go into it understanding that I'm going to test this out for 30, 60, 90 days, and let's really focus on trying to get conversions. And if I can't get conversions, then maybe Facebook and Instagram, or Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube are still just my primary focuses. But it is worth it to try out those other ad channels. So, you know, are there ways that you can test, especially as you're scaling, are there ways that you can verify if one of those specific ad channels is working in a way that's not only checkouts. You know, are there identifiers for let's say I run an e-commerce store and I want my product to be on these platforms, but is there a way that I can see if it really is working other than just checkouts, or is it purely you know usually based on checkouts?
So the couple of different ways, obviously there's what the platform is telling us from in platform. Mm-hmm. So how many sales is that platform generated, what's the ROAS, what's the cost per click, what's the click-through rate, so sales metrics and then traffic metrics. And you've got to be wary of what the attribution window is, because sort of on a platform like Snapchat you can go quite big and have like a 28-day click, 28-day view mm-hmm. attribution window, so Snapchat can be quite greedy about what it's actually doing. Yeah. So you've got to be careful to pick the right attribution window. But then also looking in Google Analytics and looking at UTM tracking, what's Facebook saying? And then what is TikTok or Snapchat even showing in Google Analytics as a UTM source or not, as driving sales? And then ultimately, if you've got the option to set up a post-purchase survey where you ask someone, where did you hear about us? So historically, 80% of people have come from Facebook and Instagram. And then after running TikTok and Snapchat for 6 months, 3 months, 9 months, it doesn't really matter, but you know, a decent amount of time, how many people have then said, where did you come from? Snapchat, TikTok or Pinterest. Have they started to show or not? If they haven't started to show, then chances are those platforms aren't really working, because users themselves aren't identifying that that's where they found your product.
Sure. So I think, you know, you brought up a really good little piece of information that a lot of people might overlook. There is sending out like a post-purchase survey. So, you know, are there maybe some of those other ad platforms can support your overall marketing and advertising goals in other ways? Like can you build email lists from running ads on platforms, right? So do you have any thoughts or any tips for people on building up their email marketing? Because ultimately, what I like to do and what I like to focus on from a advertising standpoint is, yeah, getting sales, and those are wonderful, but I want to also own that traffic, that data source. And what people don't realize is when you're running ads on Facebook and Instagram and TikTok and Snapchat, and we can go on and on and on, you're paying to acquire those sales. But once you acquire that sale, are you holding on to the information that you get from it? Or are you asking them to join your email list so that then next time you can send out email marketing saying, hey, go ahead and buy my product and it's a lot cheaper. So are there other ways that you can maybe leverage these platforms for email marketing purposes?
Sure. So if you're already doing lead gen efforts on Facebook or Instagram, mm-hmm. potentially that's a messenger bot or a lead form as an ad, and you've got some sort of flow that comes off the back of that, essentially it's working and it's generating revenue and it's profitable compared to the ad spend on generating those leads, I'd recommend trying to mirror those on Snapchat, TikTok and Pinterest. Mm-hmm. Duplicate the flow, so then you're mirroring, okay, we've got these people coming in from Snapchat as lead gen, these people coming in from TikTok and these people coming in from Pinterest. And straight away, over a short period of time, you'll understand what's the quality of those emails in comparison to the Facebook source when looking at the email flow, not just looking at what the platform is saying, you know, what's your cost per lead, but you're looking at it from, okay, so how much did the TikTok email flow generate off the back of the lead gen ad from TikTok?
Yeah, so even as an e-commerce store, you can be running lead gen ads to help build up your email lists so that you can start to own some of that traffic and hopefully get it on the fairly cheap in a way so that it doesn't cost you a ton to get those email addresses. But no, I think those are really good, valuable pieces of information. So not to throw a wrench into everything that we've talked about so far, but what about iOS 14.5? How has that changed the game from e-commerce, especially I think viewing it from a business standpoint, right? So as advertisers, we know a lot of the changes, but And we can talk about those, but what about from the business standpoint, what should an e-commerce store owner keep in mind when they're maybe scaling ads or running ads at scale, but also dealing with the privacy changes that are happening here in 2021?
So the piece of information that you need to keep front of mind is the, and this is true if you've been running ads for anything more than 3-4 months, the information in the environment that that we used to work in is not going to come back. So we had 50 sales on Shopify, 30 of those sales were in Facebook Ads Manager, and we pretty much understand that Facebook drove those sales, especially if it was at top of funnel and we didn't have any view attribution and potentially, you know, all those hurdles to make sure that Facebook wasn't taking responsibility for any sales that it didn't drive. But that very black and white understanding of what did Facebook do and where should we scale up, scale down, what ads are working, what ads aren't working, that, you know, now we usually take it for granted because now that's not there anymore.
Right.
the second point that we need to work on is when auditing our performance and when deciding what to do next, we have to look at data from lots of different places. So what's in Facebook? That's likely it's going to be 50% of the picture. What is in Google Analytics from a UTM source point of view? That's going to give us a bit more of a picture. And then two other things, what's people saying in the post-purchase survey? How many people are saying they came from Facebook? If it's 90% of people came from Facebook and revenue is up, then great, we can continue to scale Facebook as long as we understand where to put the spend. And then the final point is, how profitable are we from a money in, money out point of view? Mm-hmm. So what's our blended ROAS? What's our blended cost per acquisition? And putting all those pieces together will give us some sort of idea mm-hmm. on what's working, what's not working, and where we need to make changes.
Yeah, I think... especially when you're going and taking this omnichannel approach where you're putting your efforts into multiple buckets, right? Then the picture gets especially muddy because you know that I'm not just doing Facebook as my advertising platform. So the money I'm putting into Facebook is X amount, and the money I'm getting out of, let's say, Shopify is Y amount. Cool, looks like we're good, right? It gets a lot more complex when you're running on Facebook and Snapchat and TikTok and YouTube and Google Pay-Per-Click, and you're kind of, you know, meshing all of these ad platforms together. So the blended ROAS is what we have found to at least help clients understand the bigger picture better, because it was a bit of an adjustment when they used to be able to see, you know, that very clear picture using any of the, you know, kind of tracking tools that exist out there. They were able to get a really clear picture as to like their ROAS per channel and per ad campaign. And I don't, you know, now those things have gone away, but you need to have trust that your ad buyer is doing everything they can do to give you the most amount of sales possible and the most amount of revenue possible, but B, they're also always trying to test out new things. So give them a little bit of that budget, right? Give them a little bit of that freedom to test things out, because you don't know, and nobody really knows until you work on testing new ideas out, whether it's going to hit or not. And you could test out some idea on, let's say, a $5,000, you know, budget on that specific campaign for, you know, a couple of weeks or a month, and in that specific campaign may net you a lot more leads. So who knows? But you're going to have to track those soft stats. You're going to have to look at CPMs and cost per click and understand how many clicks went to your website from that. You know, those are all good ways that you can paint a pretty broad picture of your, you know, total return. But you're not going to get a crisp, clear picture most of the time with the state of privacy right now. And I think it's only going to get more and more aggressive as Apple continues to crack down on things like even Apple Mail is getting rid of the notifications for, you know, opens and clicks inside of mail coming up soon. So there's a lot of different ways that you need to, you know, look at your attribution, and blended ROAS seems to be one that a lot of people understand. And I think that is pretty awesome. So Last question. How can a business, how can an e-commerce store, how can they help support their ad buyer, whether it's an ad agency, it's someone internally, how can they help support them in their efforts ongoing, consistently, you know, let's say month over month, what are some ways that they can help support them so that they can, you know, really work to maximize their spend?
So I think right here and now, the priority needs to be understanding that the benchmarks that you set 6 months ago mm-hmm. aren't likely and aren't possible anymore. So if you wanted a 3x in Facebook Ads Manager, chances are for the past 7 days that looked like a 1.5 or even less. So expecting them to be able to get back up to a 3x, which is what you've got in January or December, that isn't going to be possible because of the iOS changes and the amount of data that's going into Ads Manager. So from a target's point of view, it needs to move closer to a blended ROAS target, total store revenue, total budget spent, and having those conversations with your ad buyer. So how much do you want to spend over the next 30 days? And what does that revenue look like out the back of that mm-hmm. for the total store? Mm-hmm. And not so much, you know, just attributed back to Facebook, because that isn't gonna happen. And then from a second point of view, it's all those things that we spoke about at the start. So it's you know, ensuring that stock is available, ensuring that store is merchandised well so that out of stock products go to the bottom and best selling products are pushed to the top. Whoever's doing creative, potentially that's agency side or client store side, it's that there's a strong flow of creative, both from a brand point of view and then also from a user-generated point of view. So maybe that's customers or influencers, product demos, those sort of pieces of content to enable the ad buyer to keep testing. Because ultimately that's gonna be where you find success. It's at the ad level. It's not at the audience level. And then really just having those open conversations to understand what is it that you want over Q3, Q4? What does success look like? And what are the hurdles that we're going to have to get over?
Yeah, no, I think those are good points. And to give you guys an idea as to why that 3X that was working in, you know, December, January, February is now 1.5X or even less, as of this recording, June 22nd, 2021, according to Flurry.com, the current adoption rate of people allowing iOS apps to track their data is sitting at 15%. So unfortunately, it's a painfully low number for marketers and advertisers, because we know how many more people exist out there that are using iOS devices, but not allowing for any tracking. And to give you an idea, we get very minimal tracking information when they click deny. So a lot of your custom target audiences and a lot of like your interest-based targeting, a lot of that stuff kind of goes out the window when we have people that are denying access to some of these things that in their tools that we need. So yeah, I agree. Help support them in any way possible. I think influencer campaigns are great ideas. Anything that you can do user-generated, even if you have to start offering like an incentive for user-generated over small periods of time. Hey, this month is our, you know, support our users month and get 10% off your order by, you know, posting on Instagram and tagging us or whatever it is. Now, you, of course, need a system in place to track that. But, you know, those are all great ways, because your influencers and your users and your customers can give you so much good content, and it's going to help build good rapport on the ad side when you can use that user generated content and not feel like it's just an ad coming directly from your business. So I think those are all really good points. I think this, you know, conversation, the hope here is that it was able to give you a good, you know, idea of how you get to $250,000 a month in ad buy, but also some of the hurdles that you run into. And these hurdles are never ending. So just because the iOS 14.5 changes and the app tracking transparency have been live for a little bit now, it doesn't mean it's getting any easier. You know, it just means it's getting different. And I think that's one thing you need to keep in mind If you're a business owner, if you're an e-commerce store owner, honestly, even if you're just an advertiser like us and you're struggling to get through it right now, just understand that we're all struggling in some capacity and we're all jumping through these hurdles trying to figure out the best opportunities out there. So, you know, as always, marketing is this holistic approach. Advertising is supporting that directly, and marketing is supporting advertising. It's all kind of one big meshed system. So make sure that your efforts are omnichannel in multiple different ways. And we really hope that this video is able to help you gain some clarity. Thank you so much for listening to this episode. We hope you enjoyed it. By all means, if you did enjoy it, please share it. Follow us on social media at Hey It's Handshake, and subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. Thank you so much.